I don't know about you, but I love to hear babies cry in church. I love it. I love it. Why is that, preacher? Because that means there's a baby in the church. And with what this world is doing with their kids, man, it's good to be in church. Amen? Amen. It sure is. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about anxiety. Do you have anxiety? Some people do. Some people don't. Some people do and don't claim it. Amen. Some people don't know what it is. But when you talk about anxiety, the Bible actually mentions it in several places, and it calls it fear. Because that's what anxiety is. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. I shouldn't be up too long. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Is fear a spirit? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can be seated. Anxiety is defined as an abnormal or overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physical signs such as tension, sweating, and increased pulse rate. By doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. Has anybody here ever been on a golf course and right before you shoot your shot, you are very anxious? You know, we're usually, after you hit the ball, it doesn't matter. You hit the tree, hit the water, wherever it goes, doesn't really matter after you hit it. You don't feel that apprehension. What I'm saying is, Marty, we fear the future things. It's the future that makes us. There's a saying that says a coward dies 1,000 deaths, but the brave only die once. What that means is the coward has a problem with constantly being afraid, and he replays this stuff over and over and over in his mind before it ever happens. Have you ever been nervous about something happening and it never happened? Have you ever felt like, have you ever had this to happen? I've had this happen several times in my life, and Brandon, it's scary. You ever felt like you're in the dark, you can barely see, and you feel like you're about to run into something? Like you think the door's open, and you're going through, and you're like, ah, and you don't hit it. You're just like, yeah, you know you're about to hit something. Am I the only one? And man, it's such a relief when you don't hit it. But when you think you're about to hit whatever it is, man, there's a lot of fear. The Bible tells us that fear is a spirit. Anxiety is a spirit. So if you say, I've had anxiety all my life, you don't have to walk out of here today having that same testimony. Because when you understand that anxiety is a fear, anxiety is a spirit, and fear is a spirit, then you understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities and powers. We truly are wrestling against spirits. Spirits come against us out of the blue. And I've used this illustration for a long time, but you don't get to schedule when the spirit decides to bother you. Some mornings you just get up and you can just tell. You're like, man, the devil's on me. The devil's on me. Can I get a witness? And man, that anxiety sometimes can paralyze you. I have literally been paralyzed by fear. Anybody? One night we were in the woods, we were hunting, we let our dogs out, and we let them out. AJ, they went running up the road, and I seen them go that direction. And as we're walking up through there, all of a sudden something is running up behind me full force. I had a gun, I had a light, none of that matters. I locked up. I was young, and I went. I couldn't move. I had the weapon that I needed. I could have turned around, took care of whatever it was, But because of fear, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how that one got back there that fast. But one of those had circled around really quick and was running right back by me. Dustin, I can't ever remember being more scared in my life than hearing those footsteps coming at me that fast, knowing there shouldn't be anything back there. Fear will paralyze you. Even though you got what you need to overcome, when you're in fear, you can't overcome. When anxiety takes over, I can give you verses. I can give you the word of God. I can give you the power to overcome it. But until you overcome the spirit of fear, it's tough to use. Can I get an amen? The preacher can preach at you. You got to do better. You know, you can do better. You don't let these things bother you. But until we understand that, and I know some people, all of us have some level of fear. Anybody here afraid of spiders? Spiders. Snakes. More hands for snakes. Heights. Heights. Man, we're getting there. Public speaking. Oh, watch these hands, man. They're going up. These fears, scared to death to talk to people in public. Scared to death of it. They say that is the number one fear of man. It's public speaking. I don't think that's coincidence. Did your parents ever teach you not to talk to strangers? But then the Bible tells us to go into all the world and witness to them. Jesus says, go talk to everybody. And your parents says, don't talk to them strangers. Now listen, there's a difference between strangers and strange people. Don't talk to strange people. If you're a kid, don't do it. But we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel. But we got a fear of talking to people because we feel like everybody's going to kidnap us. Listen, you're grown now. You're okay. They're probably not going to take you. Some of us are too heavy to kidnap anyway. What I'm saying is you don't have to be afraid. But the devil understands if he gives you that fear, AJ, to where we're not willing to talk to people. And I tell you this all the time. We could be the answered prayer to somebody that's praying, God, send them somebody. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power and of love and a sound mind. Romans 8 and 15 says it like this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you've not noticed the contrast here. You've not got this spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have the spirit of adoption. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, there's a spirit of fear, but when you realize you belong to me, then you don't have to worry about the spirit of fear. You have the spirit of adoption. And because you've been adopted and you belong to him, if God be for you, then who can be against you? If God is on your side, does anybody here not have any anxiety at all? Raise your hand if you don't have any anxiety at all. A couple people don't have any, maybe a little. Who has a little anxiety? Just a little. All right. I want to give you some anxiety right now. I read this article the other day, and I don't get anxious about a lot of stuff, but I read this article. And consider the source. You got to consider your source. It can't be some guy in his basement writing these articles. You know, you got to look for some, you know, make sure that there's. Listen to this. Why is America running out of water? Why is our water depleting? And this article goes into how in just a few years, you know, the West is in drought, running out of water. And this guy was trying to, you know, get you prepared, buy his stuff. He's got, you know, he can take bad. It was a sales gimmick, the whole thing. But then when I went back into it to find out, they say, we're running out of water. We got record drought out west, the Hoover Dam, Lake Mead's going dry. The millions of people are without water right now because, and it's like, listen, you need water to live. Okay, I hope you're anxious now. I hope if you didn't have any anxiety, I gave you some. Because people, if we run out of water, we're in trouble. What happens if you go to Walmart and you go in there and there ain't no water on a shelf? What are you going to do then, honey? You know, that kind of preaching. Scare you to death. He says, you can let that fear move in. There's so many articles out there about gloom and doom and everything that's going to happen. If you sit around and read those, you'll be a basket case before too long. We'll come visit you and your whole living room will be full of Aquafina. You have it stacked up everywhere because you got fear. What's this over in the corner? Oh, that's my canned goods. You done got your bathtub. I remember Y2K. I remember it very well. Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember this. But they thought that all the computers were going to crash across the world. And everything was going to shut down. And people were stocking up on everything. I did more tile that year for people putting in wood stoves in their houses for insurance purposes than I ever done before or since. Everybody was putting in a wood, because boy, when the power goes out, we're going to have to heat with this. And while I was in their house working, I would literally see bathtubs full of food, just waiting on the computers to crash. People were scared to death. I was making bank, tiling all these. I was like, Lord is blessing me. These people are scared to death. I didn't have nothing in my bathtub, nothing stocked up. I was just tiling everything. They were so afraid. And we watched, because I don't know if you know how this works or not, but we're kind of behind today, and it starts over there, way over, and it comes across the world. And as it turned midnight over there in Asia and all that, everybody's watching. It came all the way across the world, and everybody was just fine. And all that tile I did was for nothing. And now these people got wood stoves sitting in their living room. Fear will make you do a lot of stuff. Just a few years ago, I mean, fear gripped us. Amen? There was people dying left and right of COVID. I don't know what happened. Seems like that you can say whatever you want to say, but fear set in on some people. There's some people that ain't came out of their house since then. And for some reason, when all that went on, we figured church is the only place you could catch it. Better not go to church. You gotta get that COVID going on down there. Don't go down there. But yet I seen you at Lowe's, and I seen you at McDonald's, and I seen you everywhere. And I said, man, they will risk it for a faucet at Lowe's, but they won't risk it for living water at church. Fear does crazy things. Fear is a spirit. And man, when it comes on you, you got to know how to fight it off. You got to know how to get rid of it. And you got to know the truth. The only way to fight a lie is with truth. One president said the only thing to fear is fear itself. We've been afraid of stuff that never happened before. We've been scared that it was going to happen. And then it never showed up. So we wasted all that time. Listen, people, if I'm going to sin, I'm going to do something more fun than worrying. Worrying is a sin. Why is worrying a sin? Because it's doubting God. He said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I adopted you. And when I adopted you, Eric, I know how to take care of you. You belong to me. So we don't have to play by the same rules that the world plays by. I've been adopted into the family of God. He's my dad. And because he's my dad, he knows how to care for me. I don't care if it all runs out. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread ever. But you don't know, it just comes on me, preacher, and I just get this fear, and I start trembling. Listen to me really close. That's of the devil. That's the devil trying to torment you. You don't have to accept that. You don't have to say, that's just the way I'm wired, and they told me that I was diagnosed with this and diagnosed with that, and I got this and I got that. No, you got God as your father, and no matter what they say, he knows how to relieve you and give you peace. We follow Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Philippians 4. I used to use this verse on my mother-in-law all the time. And I use it totally out of context. Because when I would leave, every time I'd leave her house, she would say, be careful. And I would say, nope, be careful for nothing. And she would say, that's not what that means. I said, that's what it says. Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? You don't have to be careful at all. If you're up on a roof, don't be careful. Bible said don't be careful. If you're swimming, they drop you out in the middle. Don't be careful. Just whatever. Just don't be careful, man. Yo, live life. Woo! Don't worry about it, man. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't let anxiety take over. Don't let an unwarranted fear move in on you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's he saying? Don't let anxiety take over. Pray about it. He's saying, you got an issue. Don't let the devil move in there, because we all got issues. We got loved ones that need to be saved. And then when we think about it all wrapping up and them not being saved, sometimes it makes you a little anxious. God, I need you to move. Just keep praying about it. He's saying, just bring it to me with thanksgiving, supplication. I know how to take care of it. I know, leave it at the altar. Give it to me. You can give it to him. You ever get aggravated at people that you love, that you want them to be saved, and they ain't saved, and you get aggravated? Amen. Mona said, amen. Them daughters of yours, don't they just drive you crazy sometimes? You just want to shake them? I know I'm saying don't be anxious, but if I was her daughters, I'd be nervous. Man, you just get so frustrated because you know what? You get tore up about it. Come on, parents. Do you pray for your kids to get saved and you want them to come to the altar and you know it's the best thing for their life and you just know that it's going to be better for them and they're going to go to heaven and you pray and you pray and you pray and they don't listen? And then sometimes, it's not all the time, but then sometimes you just get this knot in your stomach and you're like, what will it take, God? What will it take? He said, just keep bringing it to me. Just keep bringing it to me. I know how to care for what belongs to me. Just bring it to me. You got the spirit of adoption. Say, I know who my daddy is and it's going to be all right. Man, if I could title this message, Sister Mona, I would title it Your Testimony. I got you, girl. I got you, girl. You know what you need to do? You need to let the devil know that God's got you. He's got you. That's my dad. He cares for me. I can't be anxious. I can't be tore up. I got the Prince of Peace living in me. Let your request be made. Pray about it. Take it to him and trust him. If you know him, you'll trust him. It's when we don't know him, we don't trust him. And the more we know him, the more we trust him. Watch this next verse. Verse 7. And the peace of God. He said, make your request known. And the peace of God, which all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Aaron, this is the kind of peace that the world don't understand. Sometimes this is the kind of peace that we ourselves don't understand. God gives you such peace that you can feel guilty about it sometimes. I should be tore up, but I ain't. I should be rattled, but I'm not. Oh, man. Have you ever heard this saying? We was at work the other night, and this guy, the miner was down. There's people running around everywhere, and there's this boy standing over here. He's eating a sandwich. I said, hey! I scared you, didn't I? I said, how can you eat at a time like this? He said, I don't care. We had all kinds of peace. You know why? Because when they want to know what happened to that night, they don't go to him. They go to me. He's got peace. He ain't anxious. He ain't tore up. He's eating his peanut butter jelly sandwich, and I'm trying to get it all together. Man, I'm telling you, when you get right, man, oh, but there's a peace that passes all understanding. When it looks like your world is falling apart, you got peace. When your children are lost, you still got peace. When the world seems like it's going to end tomorrow, you still got peace. Why? You got the spirit of adoption. And that spirit is opposite than the spirit of fear. Oh, man, watch this. I got to hurry. We get anxious about the future. I'm not anxious about what happened yesterday. I'm not anxious about what happened yesterday. It happened yesterday. We're worried about what's going to happen here in just a little bit. Y'all know my story. I listened to those end time preachers when I was a kid. I was told that I was the last generation. Jesus will come back before I ever got married and had kids. And I done got married and had kids, and my kids done got married and had kids. And somebody was adding it up all wrong. But man, I'm telling you, as a kid, I was anxious about the whole thing. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. What in the world are y'all singing? Why are we singing about people meeting their doom? Bless them, Lord. Many's going to croak and die, but we're going to fly. That ain't a verse. That ain't a verse. I just made that one up. Man, I was scared to death that Jesus was coming back. Did anybody grow up the same era I grew up? Jack Van Impe, Jimmy Swaggart, all of them. 88 Reasons for 88. The year 1988, Kevin, was the year that Jesus was coming back. And here's how they figured it up. Israel became a nation in 1948, and a generation wouldn't pass away before the Son of Man would turn. A generation's 40 years, so 1988 has to be the year, and there's going to be blood up to the horse's bridle, and it's going to be, and you're like, oh, Lord, I'm scared to death. I don't even need to go to college. I'm not even going to waste my time. I don't even look for a job. I don't even need to try. I'm just going to stay at home, shelter down, and wait for the return of the Lord. Man, if I'd have done that, I'd have been in trouble. Because God never intended you to walk around in that kind of fear. Respect the word of God. Amen. You need to plan like he ain't never coming back in your lifetime, and you need to live like he's coming back tomorrow. Amen. That's the best way to handle it. But you can't walk around anxious all the time. I've seen people so tore up about the end time, it's all they want to talk about. Are you post-trib? Are you mid-trib? Are you pre-trib? What are you? I said, man, I'm saved, and I'm going to occupy until he comes. I'm going to keep working until he gets here. If I go through the trial, I know he's with me. Though I make my bed in hell, I know he's with me. I got the spirit of adoption, and it don't matter. Come hell or high water, I know everything is going to be all right. I ain't scared. Eddie taught me a thing a long time ago. He said, man, don't threaten me with heaven. I use that all the time. We was taping up a splice one day, and the superintendent said, where's the tape? I said, it's laying right there. He said, well, you knew I need it. Why didn't you have it ready? I said, sorry. He said, if it happens again, he said, I'm on fire. I said, promise. I said, don't threaten me with heaven. Don't make promises you ain't going to keep. Are you going to fire me? He said, just give me the tape. Don't threaten me with heaven. Man, when you get to that point and you got peace like that, Brother Eddie, it don't matter. The devil, what's he going to threaten you with? Well, you're going to die. Well, so what? So what? You are too. None of us are getting out of here alive. None of us are getting out of this world alive. Man, be ready. Be ready. And when death knocks at your door, just be glad it ain't the IRS and go to heaven. All right, I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. What does that mean? Well, I went skydiving. Don't act like y'all ain't heard that stuff. Don't y'all sitting there looking at preacher. I live in the world too. That means just go out there, man. Go rock climbing. Do whatever you want. Don't take no thought for your life. Is that what he's saying? It's not what he's saying. He said, man, don't be anxious. Don't be tore up about your life. Some people are so afraid of dying, they don't live. You can't walk around in bubble wrap all the time. That ain't living. It's hard to walk. And you make a lot of noise. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Oh, watch it, preacher. Watch it. You have people rolling up in here immodest. Well, you said take no thought about what I was going to put on. So I put this on. Didn't even think about it. Is that what he's saying? Is he saying don't worry about any of that? That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying don't be anxious about it. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your food. We get anxious every snowstorm. We do. I don't know what our problem is. You act like we lived in the Bahamas and it never snowed here before. But every winter, Brandon, it happens. There's going to be snow. There's going to be snow coming. People get scared to death. We better run up here to Walmart. There ain't much on the shelves. You better hurry. Everybody runs up there and gets what they get. If you just wait till the next day and you just go out there and get it's better the next day because they go ahead and stock it back up usually. But all them people sitting at home with their milk sandwiches. Because that's what they get, milk and bread. Why? He's saying, you don't have to play by those rules. Should you be ready? Yes. Does God get his people prepared? Yes. When there was a famine coming, did Joseph not know what God wanted him to do and he stored up? He was ready. He was ready. When you're ready, you ain't anxious. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Biden sent them over there to bomb them Iranians in Syria. I don't know if you know this or not, but China and Russia are in talks. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm trying to give you some anxiety here. Because if I don't give it to you here and then help you decompress, you're going to hear it out there and still be scared. China said it's not a matter of if we go to the war with the U.S. It's a matter of when. Eventually, we're going to file bankruptcy. They're already buying up everything we got and flying balloons over us. They've been over checking out our farmland. It's their farmland. I don't know what you're talking about. The Germans tried to buy the White House, and the Chinese said it wasn't for sale. I'm kidding. That ain't real. But, man, Perry, we can let all of those stories rattle us. You start hearing that stuff, and then you got a preacher saying, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and you're going, and we can scare you to death. Here's the problem with fear. It's not of God. Respect is, reverence is, that kind of fear is, but this kind of fear we're talking about is phobia fear. It's the kind of fear that paralyzes you. It's the kind of fear that puts you in a place where you can't even function or you worry about it all the time. No, we got the Prince of Peace. I don't know what China's going to do. I know this. I'm going to be okay. Are you going to go through tribulation? Maybe, but I do know this. I won't go through wrath. I'm not appointed under wrath. So before those vials in Revelation start opening up and God starts pouring out, I'll be gone. I won't be here. I may be uncomfortable, but I won't have to deal with that. If you're lost, man, you're in trouble. Because when that starts getting poured out, they run to the mountains and have asking the rocks to follow them. That's real. Not me. I've already found the rock. And I'm standing on it. It ain't on me. I'm on the rock. Man, I got peace. When I lay down to sleep, I go to sleep. Where's my wife? Is she gone? She back there? She gets aggravated. She said, I was talking to you last night mid-sentence. You were out. I laid there for hours. Not me. I ain't got nothing to think about. When it's time to go, it's time to go. Anybody with me? Say amen. I go to bed to sleep. I don't go to bed to think about Iran. Here's the kicker. If they bomb us in the night, I won't even know it. That'd be the best time to go. I wouldn't even know what hit me. Sudden death, sudden glory. Whoa! Man, that's good stuff. What happened? They got you. Hallelujah. So I don't have to work tomorrow? Amen. Man, I done decompressed you. You're good now. You're good. Who cares if China gets us? We don't have to work tomorrow. Behold the fowls of the air, For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they are? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? I'm going to be taller. I'm going to be taller. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be taller. It ain't going to work. You can think about it and think about it and think about it, and you're not going to add anything to your stature. Amen? Why are you worried about it? Why are you worried about it? Some people are short and it bothers them. Some people are tall and it bothers them. I had a superintendent, he's about this tall. He looked at me one day, Josh, and he said, man, you're growing that beard out white and you're gaining weight. Are you going to play Santa Claus at the mall this year? I said, yes, I am, and I'm so glad you asked. I need an elf. He was so mad. An elf! I said, yeah, an elf. So come on. Ho, 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 let's go. Man, God made you. Just deal with what you got. They say taller people have worse back problems. So if you're short, praise God. I don't know if that's real or not, but that's what they say. Hurry up. Come on, musicians. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what we shall drink? And I promise, when y'all leave here, you're going to take thought. Where are we eating at? Where are we eating at? That's not what he's saying. You need to think about where you're eating at. And you need to think about what you eat. He's saying, don't be anxious about this stuff. Don't let this stuff rattle you. Don't let this consume you. Oh, I heard. I don't know if y'all heard this or not. But they say that the corn's drying up. Maybe y'all don't listen to the same podcasts I listen to. We're in trouble with the beef. They had to slaughter all them pigs because they couldn't ship them. It's going to cause a shortage. Have y'all not heard any of this stuff? Anybody, raise your hand if you heard this. There's a food shortage in America, water shortage in America. This is happening in America, and you better go to mypatriot.com and get you some of that freeze-dried food that lasts up to 28 years, and there's buckets of it for $1,200. You better hurry. Take care of your family. It's your obligation. Hey, buddy, I'm adopted, and my dad's going to take care of me, and I don't know exactly how it's going to go down. I don't really care, but I do know this. I'm going to tell them about Jesus until I get out of here, and when I get out of here, it's going to be a blessing for me because I'm ready to go. Amen. Verse 32. For after all these things to the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. What was that song y'all sang? Seek ye first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? What's important to you right now? I tell you, the number one thing that should be on your list is the kingdom of God. When we get to heaven, just want to let y'all know, there won't be no shortage of milk and honey. Won't be any shortage of light. I don't know if y'all remember Brother Max Boyce used to come here. Y'all remember him? He told me that he taught down at Baileysville. He said when he first started teaching down there, he didn't understand their lingo. And he said this girl kept telling him that they cut her juice off. And he said, man, I could not figure out what she was talking about. She's talking about they cut her juice off. And he said, finally, he said, I looked at her and I said, how much juice do you drink? She said, what? He said, they cut you off? Juice? Lunchroom? Like, They cut you off. Like, you don't got no more juice. You can't get no more juice. She said, no, juice. Juice. They cut my juice off. My power. He said, oh. He said, she was calling electricity juice. And I had no idea that's what it was called. I said, yeah, man, there's juice poles down there. They're not power poles. They're juice poles. Listen. You're not going to have to worry about him cutting your juice off in heaven. Because he's going to be the light of the city. You don't even need the sun. Because he's going to light it up. Man, you got to take comfort in it. Man, when you walk out of here, you just say, man, it don't matter. It does not matter. Everything's going to be all right. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. But I want to help you. I want to help you today. Come on, Sam, come up here. Get ready. Hey, listen, if you need prayer, if you need prayer, if God's dealt with your heart over the last month and you need to give your life to Jesus, now's the time. If you do have something that you're anxious about and you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you have anxiety issues that you don't want to ever walk out of here and face again, come on up here. We're going to pray that God relieves you completely. If you need prayer right now as they sing, would you step out and come forward? A friend of mine, Brother Ellis Stacy, texted me and said they're putting his sister in hospice and he wants us to pray for him. Told him I would. Would you help us pray? Amen. Come on. Help me, Eric. Come on. Whatever you're anxious about, God is greater than your anxiety.